Punjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Punjabi Hare. Topi Janna Bahalaba, Giravarida Hare. Topi Janna Bahalaba, Giravarida Hare. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvraj Gachara Soter Sadashi Shimis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samadvaita Veda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Simul devotees, all glories to Simul devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. Nama Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Bacharni Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschachai Dishitarni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Amal Arjuna Trees, Text 23, I believe. Is that right? Okay. Is that 23? Am I in the right verse? We can do a different one. Okay, there we go. Sri Shukuvacha Evam Muktva Sadevarshir Gato Narayanashramam Nalakuvara Manigriva Asatur Yamalarjunau Sri Shukuvacha Evam Muktva Sadevarshir Gato Narayanashramam Nalakuvara Manigriva Asatur Yamalarjunau Sri Shukuvacha Evam Muktva Sadevarshir Gato Narayanashramam Nalakuvara Manigriva Asatur Yamalarjunau.
Asatur Yamalarjunau.
ladies. Sri Shukuvacha, Sri Shukadev Goswami continued to speak. Evam Uktva, thus uttering. Sa, he, Devarshi, the greatest saintly person. Narada, Gata, left that place. Narayana Ashramam, for his own ashram, known as Narayan Ashram. Nalakuvara, Nalakuvara. Manigrivau, and Manigriva. Asatu, remain there to become. Yamla Arjuna, twin Arjuna trees. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami continued, having thus spoken, the great saint Devarshi Narada returned to his ashram known as Narayana Ashram, and Nala Kuvara and Manigriva became twin Arjuna trees. Purport. Arjuna trees are still found in many forests, and their skin is used by cardiologists to prepare medicine for heart trouble. This means that even though they are trees, they are disturbed when skinned for medical science. And we have text 24 with no purport, just to, I guess, to finish this part. Text 24, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to fulfill the truthfulness of the words of the greatest devotee Narada, slowly went to that spot where the twin Arjuna trees were standing. Om Gyana Temarandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chakshu Nitamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vanchakalpatarubhischa kribasindhubhivacha patidano pavnebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I don't have a lot to add about the medicinal value of Arjuna bark. And that's about what we have here, the purport, which means that I have the opportunity to basically speak about whatever I want. I mean, I thought it might be appropriate to do a little recap of what we've talked about so far in this chapter and what are some of the main themes. I was looking through this and I realized this is actually, this is a very important chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam. Every chapter, every verse is very important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But some are particularly instructive to us, and I found that when I kind of think back of a story like this, it seems fairly simple, you know, that the two demigod sons get cursed, they get cursed as trees, they get liberated by Krishna. You know, but actually we've discovered as we've gone through this verse to verse that there are many, many very interesting themes throughout this. And there's a lot of philosophical insight, not only in the verses, but in the purports that Srila Prabhupada has picked certain areas to concentrate on and to expand. Just like in yesterday's class, the whole expansion should have probably been the purport about Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti. In other words, very, very important ideas are found throughout these throughout this chapter. So some of the ideas and concepts that we've talked about so far in this chapter include that even great personalities become bewildered by opulence. So there's an instructive lesson here. These are great sons of a great demigod. very powerful personalities, but yet they succumb to the influences of Maya. We've also seen that because of succumbing to the influence of Maya, the result is that they offended a great Vaishnava. This is also very instructive. What is the result of offending a Vaishnava? Well, you might get cursed to be a tree, for one thing. But, you know, obviously that's a further discussion. But then it turns out that that curse was for the ultimate good of those. And we got to see examples of the great mercy of the devotee that turns something which might be negative as being accursed for their bad behavior into something very positive. We also talked about if everything is taken away from one and one is deprived of one's opulence, how this can actually be beneficial. And this was point was elaborated upon in several verses that we talked about recently, and how that if one is put into a state of poverty, that this can be a very great opportunity because one is able to learn the qualities of compassion. One is able to understand that if everything is taken away from them, how other people are suffering, and gain some personal insight in that matter. And then now we've just got to, and of course we are still going to have some very wonderful prayers by Nalakuvara and Manugriva of glorifying Krishna, so that's still to come. But where we just ended now, in this last verse, is that Narada Muni has cursed them, they're going to become trees, he goes back to his ashram, and then in text 24, we say that Sri Krishna now is going to the spot of the Arjuna trees for what reason? To fulfill the words of his great devotee Narada. So here again, another important lesson, how Krishna is always fulfilling the words of his devotees and making them true. And that was interesting because you can see we have this sort of, there's this symbiotic or cooperative mood and relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees. You know, sometimes we say people are really being on the same page. Well, Krishna and his pure devotee are really on the same page. They work in a very cooperative spirit and venture. So I was thinking, is it that Narada Muni just decided, I'll just do this and curse them to become trees, and Krishna says, oh, I have to make this happen now because Narada said it? Or is it Narada knows the heart and the mind of Krishna, being inspired within his heart by Krishna, then curses them and Krishna arranges all this? Obviously, it kind of works both ways, doesn't it? In other words, the devotee is always wanting to fulfill the desire of Krishna, and Krishna is wanting to fulfill the desire and the words of his devotee. So again, it's that reciprocal relationship. And that's the nature of bhakti. That's the loving nature of bhakti. Bhakti is all about relationship, about rasa. So we can see in this case, in other words, Narada Muni isn't just deciding to just do whatever he feels like doing at the, you know, spur of the moment or according to his whim. No. He's very in tune with Krishna's desire, and the devotee wants to fulfill the desire of Krishna. And thus Krishna, being so pleased by that attitude of surrender, he also wants to please his devotees and fulfill their desires. So this is another thing that we see working within this chapter, this wonderful reciprocal relationship of mutual satisfaction and desires between Krishna and his devotee. So of all these themes, I thought today, since I could just pick one, is that I want to talk a little bit about this idea of more. We've talked about it already quite a bit, but this idea of the mercy and the compassion of Krishna's devotees. And how the mercy and the kindness of the great devotees manifests. We have such a nice example here of Narada Muni. Through his curse of the sons of Kuvera, they became benefited. Not only did they become benefited in that their pride was curbed, their sense of false opulence was curbed, and this was a great learning lesson for them, having to become trees for so many hundreds or thousands of years, but they also were given the opportunity to have darshan of Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes. I mean, that is, can you imagine what a boon that is? That doesn't seem like a curse at all. I curse you to have to be in Vrindavan and get to personally see Krishna in his wonderful childhood pastimes. So we can see that this was really more of a benediction than a curse. Again, showing the kindness and the mercy of Krishna and as it manifests through his devotees' words and actions. So I was thinking about this relationship of the living entity with these great devotees, these great souls like Narada Muni and the great acharyas and gurus. And I was thinking it sort of manifests in three different ways, or you could say in three different stages of our devotional service. I mean, of course, there's many other ways it can be looked at. These were just three that came to mind to me as I was thinking about this class. First of all, in the beginning, we see that devotees are very merciful to the conditioned souls. Before one begins one's sojourn or one's journey in devotional service, there's some necessary prerequisites. And one of those prerequisites is gaining the mercy of the devotee, of gaining the mercy of Krishna and the devotee, so that one takes up the process of devotional service. And this is often talked about somewhat symbolically. Of course, it's a very, very beautiful image we have of the Bhakti Lata Bij, the creeper, the seed of the creeper devotional service. So this seed of devotional service, this beginning point, a seed we think of, this is the beginning. When the seed sprouts and fructifies, that's when a plant comes into being. So our devotional service comes into being at a certain point, actually manifests. Just like within the seed, you know, it's always, it's the seed's there, the potential, the life is there, but it's not until it actually grows, until it's actually right planted, that we see any manifestation of that seed becoming a plant. The creeper, the plant, is the image that's here. So in the same way, we are all devotees of Krishna. We are all part and parcel of Krishna, in eternal relationship with him. But that is so forgotten, that is so covered over by our many lifetimes in this material world, that it's practically unmanifest. So when that seed is given, and then by the spiritual master and by Krishna, then it begins to, of course, grow. It is watered by the process of bhakti, etc. And, of course, we all know the rest of the analogy. You have to watch out for the offenses, the weeds, and all that sort of thing. So, of course, very, very nice verse, very familiar to all of us, that explains this. Brahmananda brahmate kona bhagyavan jiva guru krishna prasade paya bhakti lata bij. From Majja 479. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service, the Bhakti Lata Bij. So it's the mercy of both Krishna and Guru and the spiritual master that one actually is given this gift of devotional service. So we can understand that this is one of the very, very merciful roles that the acharya, the spiritual master, the great devotees of the Lord play, and that they distribute love of God to everyone throughout the universe. And of course, we see this with Narada Muni. He's constantly doing this, traveling, preaching. In fact, we see that Narada Muni, of course, is he has no hesitancy to try to present Krishna consciousness to everyone. We know the story of Magrari the hunter, you know, someone who is the most sinful, doing the most demoniac activities, but yet he had no hesitation to give him Krishna consciousness, to preach to him. And, of course, he became a great devotee. Now, I think the second part, once that we receive that mercy and our devotional service begins, that's not the end of it. This is not an impersonal type of movement where we say, okay, I got my start, my spiritual master, now I put them aside, you know, and now I'm fine, I'm set, you know, I just go about my way. No, the devotee feels a eternal debt to the spiritual master, an eternal debt to the Vaishnavas and the Acharyas. And so that association and continued association with sadhus, sadhu sangha, is very essential in our Krishna consciousness and our ongoing process. The ability and the privilege to be able to associate with devotees is so important. It's really what keeps us enlivened in Krishna consciousness and what helps us to advance in Krishna consciousness. There's a couple nice verses on that. This is from the Nectar Devotion, chapter 12, and Srila Prabhupada, citing the Hari Bhakti Sudaya, Sahodaya, quotes that great personality, Hiranyakasipu. Said, okay, you all right, never mind. Okay. A little unusual that we quote Hiranyakasipu, but he actually said a few good things. He said, "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before us." So, very important statement about the power of our association. Whoever we associate with, our consciousness reflects that. Now, of course, for Hiranyakasipu, he saw it as a real problem, you know, that his son was associating with Vaishnavas and was giving his bad association, corrupting the rest of his classmates. But Prabhupada goes on in that, talking about the value of good association. He says, similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly that same action will be there. So in other words, we will tend to reflect and take on the quality of others. And if that, and if we are associating with these flower-like devotees of the Lord, these great Vaishnavas, then we also tend to take on those qualities. We also reflect that in our consciousness, our association. And we see that. We can practically all experience that. And we know that if we are not associating so well, then we will tend to take on some of those qualities. Or sometimes even if we don't take on the qualities, we find that our Krishna consciousness is not quite at the same level as if we are getting good regular association and hearing from advanced devotees. Another nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to seek form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. In other words, yes, you can have material prosperity, material opulence, if you just want to take birth again. But even beyond any material opulence, and even beyond liberation, beyond the heavenly planets, is that wonderful gift given by the association devotees. So he's saying that that can't be compared to anything. That's the most valuable thing in our life. So to have that relationship, of course, with the guru, with the spiritual master, but all of the devotees, is very, very important, and it's, of course, a wonderful gift to us. So we can associate and gain the benefit of that association and gain the mercy devotees actually in many ways. First of all, of course, we have the association and we have the words, we have the instructions of all of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. You know, we have the instructions of the six Goswamis, of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura, of Bhakti Vinod, of Bhakti Siddhanta. So we have this power of the words of generations of Vaishnavas. What to speak of the words of Shukadeva Goswami and the Srimad Bhagavatam and all of the Shastras. So that's there. And of course, we have, of course, the Shiksha of other devotees, of senior devotees, of people who can help give us guidance or that we can take association, get enlivenment and encouragement from. You know, so that's also very, very important, that we do seek out that association of devotees that help us to advance in Krishna consciousness and keep us enlivened. But of course, I think most of us would agree that the most valuable shiksha instruction that we have, that we receive from our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And that's something that we cannot ever overestimate. The words and the instructions of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, who came to this Western world and was specifically empowered by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and by all the Acharyas to spread Krishna consciousness. He had a very unique ability to speak to those of us in the Western world who were knew nothing about Vaishnavism, who we had no good qualities. In fact, most of our philosophy was based, we thought we were very intelligent, but it was really all based upon some version of sense gratification, or so much contamination from other philosophies. At any rate, Srila Prabhupada cut through all of this, and he touched her heart. And he touched her heart through his purity, as well as his words, and as well as his instructions and wisdom. And of course, Srila Prabhupada never took any credit for himself. He said, "I'm simply passing on this message of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and the words and instructions of my spiritual master." So, of course, the humility that Srila Prabhupada exhibited only endeared him more to us and helped us to realize his real position as one of the great historical acharyas of all time. So, Srila Prabhupada is our ISKCON founder acharya. We often use that word and use that term, and now we have seminars about that, and people are beginning to realize more and more just how important that is and how critical Srila Prabhupada's association and ongoing association with all of us through his words, through his instructions, and of course, most importantly, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized his books, how important it is to study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all of Srila Prabhupada's books, because associating with the words of the Bhagavat, the Mahabhagavat devotee, is non-different than direct association with him. So even though we experience the sadness of separation from Srila Prabhupada, we can fully have his association through his words and instructions. So this is very, very important to us, and it's very powerful. It's not just theoretical. I mean, it's something that we experience and we feel in our lives, and all of us, whether we are direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada or Srila Prabhupada is our grand spiritual master, we all have that connection. We all have that access within this movement because, you know, Srila Prabhupada will always be the one who we look to for sort of the final word. He has the authority as the founder acharya of ISKCON. I was thinking of an example of this that a few years ago, Radhana Swami related this to me. He was telling me the story of his life one night, and as you can imagine, he's quite a storyteller, so that conversation went on until about 1 in the morning, but until we finally, I think we're both exhausted. But one thing he was telling me about his experiences in Chaupati many years ago, and of course at that time there were about 500 initiated disciples of Kirtananda Swami, and of course we all know, or if we don't know, you don't probably don't need to know or want to know, but most of you know the sad history. The Kirtananda Swami left our society for various reasons. Now, that could cause, you can imagine, a great turmoil in the hearts of disciples when their spiritual master leaves or falls down like that. But Radhanath Maharaj was relating to me that about those 500 disciples, one left. 499 stayed and one left. And he attributed, he didn't say, oh, because I was there and they were also loyal to me and I preached to them. He said, because I had always preached to them about their connection with Srila Prabhupada. And he attributed that because they felt connected to Srila Prabhupada, they were connected with this movement. They were connected with the parampara. They're connected with, you know, the whole Vaishnava tradition. Why should they leave? In other words, we are all in the best of hands. You know, we have our entire parampara, we have Srila Prabhupada, and we have wonderful, the next generation, very wonderful devotees giving shiksha and mentorship and also initiation. So we're very, very well situated in a very wonderful place for spiritual advancement, and we need to take full appreciation of that. The third point is that Krishna and his devotees also help the devotees by removing obstacles to their advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's described that Krishna can give all facility, but sometimes that facility, particularly if it's in the form of wealth, of opulence, of fame, adoration, pride, distinction, this can also be a detriment to our Krishna consciousness. This can also cause us to become either puffed up or simply forgetful of Krishna, or to become distracted in our Krishna consciousness. And if that's the situation, then Krishna and his devotees may very kindly take that away from us. And of course, we saw that with our story here of Nalakavara and Anigriva. Because their opulence was actually leading them away from spiritual life and was leading them to a life of degradation and gross material sense gratification, Narada Muni, out of his kindness, took that all away from them. He was actually not, it wasn't a spirit of retribution or, you know, punishment. I'm going to take all this away from you. It was actually in a spirit of mercy and kindness. This is keeping you from being God conscious. You are devotees. You are great souls. You are sons of the great demigod Kuvera. And now you're in this fallen condition of life. Therefore, he took that away from them so they could regain their more pure consciousness, you know, their real position as devotees of Krishna. And it's actually described that they became great devotees again. After this incident, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that they attained prema, and they went back to to their position in the heavenly planets as demigods again. So this is one of the ways that Krishna sometimes through his devotees, sometimes just working in other ways, sometimes through the agency of his material energy, it may even seem like. But Krishna works very directly and very specifically with devotees to help them to advance in Krishna consciousness. And this may mean that sometimes that opulence has to be taken away for the devotee's benefit. We have, of course, a very wonderful example here in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's another very good example in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the story of Bali Maharaj. This is kind of our classic example of Krishna taking everything away for his devotee, but the devotee gaining pure devotional service and his relationship with Krishna because he surrendered fully to Krishna. Nice verse from the Bhagavatam, 8:22:16. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. As you remember, Prahlad Maharaj is Bali's grandfather. So when all this is happening, the Vamanadev and capturing Bali Maharaj, tying him up, binding him, all that, Prahlad Maharaj is also there because he's in the court. He's the grandfather. At least he's around in some way. So Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear Lord, it is your lordship who gave Bali the very great opulence of the post of the heavenly king. And now, today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you've acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away his opulence." In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, "As it is said, Yashyaham anugrinami harishetad danam sanai." Bhagavatam 10:88:8, very, very nice chapter. That's the discussion about the devotees of Lord Shiva, the devotees of Lord Vishnu, and why the devotees are put into distress or in poverty, and the Shivites are opulent. Anyway, that's a very, very, very nice verse to study. Prabhupada quotes that. "It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although actually this is not a fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions." So Krishna works in this way. As I would say most of us, neophyte devotees, speaking for myself, we have to learn the lessons that Krishna gives us. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we're not as surrendered and as understanding as great souls like Bali Maharaj. And we may not get it quite as easily and say, "Yes, Krishna, I surrender everything to you. Go ahead and take everything away. I only want my loving relationship with you." So we have to see when Krishna acts in this way, how he's acting for our benefit. And we have an opportunity for surrender. Not always easy, but if we can start to think that way and see that way, and we can begin to develop that consciousness through hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. These stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these pastimes, are to be instructive for us. They're meant to give us good instruction so we can see how advanced devotees respond in difficult situations, how advanced devotees continue to surrender and make further advancement and develop their relationship with Krishna. So we see in all of these cases, if we talk about whether it's Prahlad Maharaj or Bali Maharaj or Nalakovar and Manigriva, or think of Devaki and Vasudev, her father was the king. Everything was taken away. They're thrown into prison. How do these devotees respond to those situations of distress? They became more dependent upon Krishna, more surrendered, and therefore they thought of Krishna more and became closer to Krishna. The result was that because they are dependent upon Krishna, they're meditating upon Krishna all the time, and therefore they are connected with Krishna even more so. So that's how the devotee can understand how this is actually Krishna's mercy, that he is actually working for advancement in Krishna consciousness, helping us to remember him. Sometimes if everything is very good for us, everything is, you know, if we have some opulence, if everything is happy, we may easily forget Krishna. So if we start to forget Krishna too much, Krishna may have to wake us up a little bit. So we don't always see the reason why everything happens, but we do understand that it's Krishna's plan and that Krishna is working specifically to help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we need to take those opportunities to learn, take opportunities to surrender, and understand that nothing is happening outside of the will of Krishna. Of course, that doesn't mean we have to look for opportunities for pain and suffering, or we have to necessarily place ourselves in an artificial position of poverty or whatever it may be. I was thinking of one pastime that Gurudas relates when he was with Srila Prabhupada, and I guess he had very hurriedly, Srila Prabhupada was going out on a walk somewhere, so he didn't even have his shoes on. So he went running after Srila Prabhupada, and there was a lot of rocks, and he's kind of hurting his feet. And Srila Prabhupada said, like, "Where are your shoes?" And he said something like, you know, "Oh, I don't feel the pain when I'm with you," something like, you know, like, you know, it's like we think we should say, although it's probably not exactly accurate. But anyway, he was trying to be surrendered and saying, you know, it's like, it's okay, but I'm with you. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him very seriously and said, "There is enough pain and suffering in this material world. We don't have to look for it." So we don't have to worry about putting ourselves artificially in a difficult position. Difficulty will, just as happiness will come, difficulty will come. You know, we don't have to look for it. You know, but when it does come, when both the happiness and the distress come, when both the pain and the pleasure comes, the devotee is meant to be more equipoised. We don't become, what is it, over-elated in happiness and over-distressed sadness. In other words, we remain in sort of that equal position. Why? Because we know that both are coming from Krishna and that both are equally meant for our benefit, given to us directly by Krishna or by the devotee. So therefore, we try to learn what we need to learn and further surrender and advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll stop at that point. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there comments, questions?
You were saying earlier how the seed might be there for a long time, but unless it is planted, it doesn't sprout. Does that mean that the soul is there in the seed all the time, or is it, it only comes to life when the creeper starts to...
Yeah, I was kind of winging it on that analogy. I'm not sure how good it was. But that was the basic idea. In other words, yes, you know, the fact is that we are devotees. Prabhupada always say that dormant Krishna consciousness is within us. In other words, you know, it's at a certain point that will manifest and it will come out. And when one receives, as the verse says, the mercy of Krishna and Guru, then, you know, the bhakti lata bija, that creeper then is implanted and begins to grow. Yeah, but, you know, whether it's like, if your point is, was it already there? Well, yes, of course. The spirit soul is there. The spirit soul is just sort of waiting. The consciousness is in a dormant condition, you know, waiting to manifest its Krishna consciousness.
Sometime back, you mentioned in the past, maybe 2-3 years back, you very nicely, I don't know how you researched it.
I don't know how you remember people, my classes, anyway.
I do because it caught me, that 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 7 in the purport.
Yeah.
You said, Sanatana Goswami Pad says, you remember? You said that, and then I went and looked it too. And then I was completely convinced that a particular quality is given to each soul.
Oh, was that from Sanatana Goswami?
You read it, actually, I remember.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So then he said particular quality Krishna gave to every soul that he wants to relish. So that Krishna prem is there. But to wake up that Krishna prem require external fire, like Prabhupada said, external fire to take the fire out of the dead wood. So that's why both is... So one is bhakti, one is prema. Mm. That's why it's a gradual progression. Yeah. I appreciate one thing. It's very interesting. Yesterday I was reading Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur comment, and what you just said was very so nice. I do appreciate that. At the moment of death, he says, instead of I'm trying to think to remember Krishna, I should have a strong faith of Srila Prabhupada's word or those acharyas' word, because they have a strong, solid foundation on relationship with Krishna, which you emphasized beginning of the class. That was very nice, because instead of depending on my own ability to remember Krishna, I may fail. During the class, I don't want to fall asleep, but sometimes I remember in Mayapur, sleep would come. So I fail on my own. But if I can hold tightly on the word of Srila Prabhupada, that is faith, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says. So thank you for pointing out.
Well, thank you for also emphasizing that. Yeah, in the beginning, our faith is not so strong. But if we have faith in Guru, then that faith will continue to intensify and will continue to grow based upon his complete faith in Krishna. Yeah. So we do take on some of the attributes and the qualities of the guru. Isn't it called the para attachment, the shadow attachment, in a sense? Because we in the beginning particularly, we benefit from the position of the guru, and when we connect with him, we gain some of that. That's why sometimes even the very, very new devotees may begin chanting Hare Krishna and they feel ecstatic, right? Remember that back when we were new and it was all, you know, now, does that mean that we were like super advanced, we were practically pure devotees then, and now we're not so advanced? No, of course not. In other words, that's that shadow attachment, in a sense, that really comes from the guru, from the spiritual master, and that connection. And so it's some special mercy that we're getting. Yeah. Sukhita?
Srila Prabhupada, he tried to start the movement in India, and it just didn't take off. And he came to America, you know, such a sinful place, so much hedonism and sense gratification. But somehow or other, and I heard recently that Prabhupada was saying the fact that we were innocent in the sense that we weren't contaminated by, you know, Mayavadi philosophy.
Yeah, they're reading that, I think, one of the readings, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But still, just thinking of that, what a curiosity that is, that he didn't take off in India, and somehow when he came here, that, you know, we were able to listen, and devotees were able to commit themselves to Srila Prabhupada, that it's pretty, it's pretty mystical. I mean, it's pretty.
It is amazing. And, of course, you know, Prabhupada attributes to that lack of offensiveness. In other words, we had kind of an innocence. You know, we were willing. Sometimes if you don't know anything, it's almost easier. You know, because I remember when I'd be reading in the beginning, Prabhupada would talk about Mayavadis and demigods, worshippers like that. We didn't know. I don't know. Who wants to be a demigod? We didn't even know what a demigod was, you know. So in other words, in some ways, we didn't have some of that contamination because we knew nothing. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, you know. Not to be too... I mean, America does have some pious qualities that Srila Prabhupada recognized. You know, it's interesting. I don't know why. I guess because I teach statistics and things, and I just sort of like this. But I always follow the polls and things like that and all of these sociological surveys. And for consistently, and I for many, many years, like the two countries that have the highest belief in God in all of the polls and the surveys they do is India and America. You know, America in some ways is so degraded and so sinful, but yet there is this spiritual strand that runs throughout, that people do have a strong belief in God. And it's very high. It's not like, you know, it's like 90% or something, you know, people who believe in some kind of higher being or higher power. You know, it may not be a personal understanding of God, but it's some understanding. So there was, and of course we know all the historical and cultural thing, you know, everything that was going on, it was arranged, obviously, by Lord Chaitanya as a fertile field for preaching, and then Srila Prabhupada was sent here. And it's amazing, because it's just amazing, and it gives us more and more, I think, faith and appreciation of what Srila Prabhupada did. You know, I was also thinking, I've talked about this to many of my contemporaries recently, and we all agree, as we're all like over 60 years old now or whatever, you know, just trying to imagine, you know, even physically what Srila Prabhupada did with his schedule and his traveling around the world. And, you know, it's like, it takes me days to recover from going back, going to India, you know. And Srila Prabhupada would go to a time zone, 8 hours difference, and he'd just be right on the schedule. And it just, you know, it's just amazing. So many things about Srila Prabhupada are just cannot even be calculated materially. You know, we can see the empowerment he was given by Krishna. We should probably end class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.